All right. What a great passage, hey? This morning I want to look at what God's Word says about being single, about singleness. This can be a sensitive topic because many in our church family are single, not by choice. A spouse has passed away, a divorce, or you would like to be married, but you're not. So there are a number of reasons why some of our brothers and sisters are single. I believe it's important for us to look at the scriptures on this topic because marriage and family have become an idol of sorts in the general church and in our culture. A message which is being communicated in different ways is that if you don't have a mate, you're incomplete. Emotional and spiritual completeness comes from finding a spouse. This makes singleness something to avoid, something that needs to be fixed. Otherwise, you are missing out on truly living. This attitude is seen in a number of ways. If you're around the age of 35 or something like that, 35 years old, you might be asked, why are you still single and not married? Underlying that question is often an unsaid question. What's wrong with you? I found a list of reasons that some Christians have given to people to explain why they are single. Things like, as soon as you're satisfied with God alone, He'll bring someone special into your life. Or, you're too picky. You're too picky. Or this is my favorite one. Before you can marry someone wonderful, the Lord has to make you someone wonderful. Hi, yi, yi. As if any of those reasons are true of any of us before we got married. There are many distorted views of singleness as well as marriage. Views that hurt and damage people. Damage single people. And send people into marriage with these lofty, unrealistic expectations of their spouse. As a young adult, I remember thinking that I would never get married, which meant my life was just going to be a lonely, horrible mess. Without marriage, I was doomed to loneliness and an unfulfilled life. That was my conviction, a very negative view of singleness and a distorted view of marriage. Christians often hold a negative view of singleness. And I was wondering why? Like, why are we uncomfortable with it? And perhaps, and this is my guess, perhaps the church is uncomfortable with singleness because, one reason, we live in an unbiblical, sex-crazed, sex-driven, sex-infatuated world. And we believe that the only way to be sexually holy in this culture is to be married and become sexually active with our spouse. That's the only hope of weathering this storm of immoral sex. Find a spouse quickly before you fall, because you will fall. Perhaps that's a reason for our discomfort with singleness. And if it is, we're ignoring or forgetting scripture that helps the single be sexually holy in this culture, which is self-control, self-denial. A very real option to sexual holiness for singleness is celibacy. But self-denial is often seen as a terrible word. Deny yourself nothing is the world's mantra. And sadly, it's taken hold of the church. And so giving up sex in this sex-motivated, infatuated culture is not an option. And perhaps this adds fuel to this dislike of singleness. Well, we as God's kids need to have our beliefs and our understanding of life shaped by His Word. So let's pray and then look at God's Word, and I hope and trust that God will change our thinking to line up with His thinking, with His understanding, with his truth. So let's pray. Father, I ask that that my words would be taken with grace, that they would be heard with gentleness and care and with love. I ask, Lord, that you would change our thinking so that it's lined up with your word. Help us to make sense of singleness, both the married and the unmarried, that we would all have our beliefs based on your word. So bless us in this way, Lord. Bless us as we walk through this. We ask this with dependence on you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Old Testament, singleness was rare. If someone was single, it was due to either they were a widow, divorced, a eunuch, someone with some kind of a disease like leprosy, or someone choosing to stay single because they were called to a certain role, like a prophet, but that was very rare. It was very difficult for women to be single. A widow or a divorcee had tremendous financial struggles. They were some of the most helpless in that culture. Staying unmarried often meant severe poverty, so widows and divorcees sought to remarry pretty quick. But if they couldn't remarry, God provided for them their survival through the help of his people, the people of Israel. In the New Testament, marriage was still the norm, but there was a change in the view of marriage and singleness, and it started toward the end of the Old Testament time and then fulfilled more in the New Testament. In that, in the Old Testament, everything was centered on God's covenant with his specific people, Israel. And it continued as people married and had children through that bloodline. Marriage and children was the way God brought the promised Messiah through his people, Israel. But a change developed in the Old Testament and continued in the New Testament. The flesh and blood line was not so much the focus as the spiritual family of God through the promised Messiah. The family of God was being spoken of as a spiritual family more than that bloodline family. And this brought singleness through a process of becoming seen in a more positive way, as it should be, because there is misunderstanding surrounding singleness from how we understand Scripture. We often misunderstand it and come up with wrong beliefs about singleness. Here's an example. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 27. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then in Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So male and females bear God's image, and it's not good that man is alone. Now, I don't think that God is saying in these verses here, in the context here, that the only way people can reflect the image of God is in marriage. That's why it's not good for a man to be unmarried. I don't think God is saying that because of some of the other passages that we'll be looking at. I believe here in Genesis, God is revealing one of his characteristics, that he exists as the Trinity. He exists as the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as community in relationship. And for people to reflect God's image, to be image bearers of God, they too need to be in relationship, not in isolation. It is not good for humans to be isolated. That's why he created them to be in relationship. As he is in relationship, we are created to be in relationship. So early on in the Bible, we can see that there is some foundation to seeing singleness in a positive way, that not everything is based on marriage. And 1 Corinthians 7, verse 27 to 31 is even clearer in its positive light on singleness. Verse 27, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. This passage is not putting down marriage or mourning or rejoicing or buying goods or any dealings with the world. In light of Jesus' second coming, which is coming soon, we are to remember that this world is fading away fast. So don't be engrossed, consumed, and infatuated by the world and the things of the world, but live for what's important. If you're not married, that's okay. Don't be consumed by it. God is your ultimate fulfillment for eternity. If you are married, that's okay. Don't make your life about your spouse. If you mourn, rejoice, buy products, interact with the world, that's okay. But know that your ultimate satisfaction, fulfillment, and purpose is the Lord. That's the point. The time is short, so live for the Lord. Singleness isn't presented as negative, but as a blessed way of life. And how couldn't it be? Jesus was single. Paul was single. In Matthew 19, verse 11 to 12, there are two singleness is spoken of in a good light. We might be thrown off by the word eunuch, which is mentioned five times, but it represents singleness and celibacy. The first two examples of eunuch are by physical mutilation, but the third by choice. As verse 12 says, eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. This is understood as not physical mutilation, but as a choice of celibacy, so that the kingdom of God could be that person's focus, so they could live for the Lord in this short time. That is a good thing. And singleness helps do that. Singleness is even spoken of as a gift in verse 11 to 12. Those to whom it is given, let the one who is able to receive this receive it. Given and received, a gift. Singleness is given. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, God is telling us the same thing through the Apostle Paul and his single life. Verse 7, I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. By God's grace and mercy and goodness, he granted Paul a gift, and that gift was being single, the gift of singleness. Presented as a gift from God was revolutionary in Paul's day, as it is today. Instead of it being something to make us sad or to dread, singleness is seen positively. As a gift doesn't mean that being single is easy. We often think that if we are gifted in a certain way, that that gift is easy for us to exercise. You know, try telling that to a mom who is up early in the morning and up late at night caring for her kids. Or try telling that to a nurse in a care home. Those are gifted roles. And do they always exercise their gift with ease? No. You know, what mom says, I had a hard day today. Perhaps I'm not gifted to be a mom, so I'm just going to stop. I'm going to give up. Is exercising our God-given gifts easy? Does it come easy? That's a poor criteria for evaluating a gift from God. I have gifts that don't come easy. I believe I'm gifted and called by God to serve this church in preaching. But preaching does not come easy for me. I can't whip off a sermon. It's hard work. Praying, thinking, studying, pondering, pursuing this thought, writing it out, and then rereading it and noticing that it makes no sense, and then doing it all again. It's not easy. Sometimes I dread it. This is God's word that I'm dealing with and proclaiming. That's a heavy burden, one that I can't casually move into and try making happen, putting a sermon together. The gift of singleness is not easy. It comes with a whole bunch of challenges, like every other gift comes with a whole bunch of challenges. Paul presents singleness as a gift. And he does this in the context of having a high view of marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it sounds like he's putting down marriage. There it says, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. You know, reading this verse on its own, we might think, okay, sex is for marriage, sex isn't good, therefore marriage is not good, singleness is good. That's what it sounds like Paul is saying in this passage. But he's not. Verse 1 is a statement that was made to Paul in a letter, a statement that Paul includes in this writing in order to respond to it. He is not making a case for celibacy or against sexuality in a marriage. He's responding to the idea that a holy way of life for a married couple was to not have sex. And he slams that idea, thanks be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 6, has a very high view of marriage, a high view of intimacy in a marriage. And this is something 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 through 9 points to as well. Verse 8, to the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single, as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, this isn't a negative statement like, oh, you have no self-control, so go ahead and just get married. Sheesh, if you had any self-control, you wouldn't need to get married. That's not what he's saying. He is saying that those who don't have the gift of singleness, who have passions for a particular person, pursuing marriage is good. Paul is maintaining a high view of marriage while presenting singleness as a gift from God. Now, how is singleness a gift from God? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 to 35. We've already touched on this. It's a gift because being single allows you to devote more time to God. Verse 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Following Jesus is easier if you're single. Easier in the sense that you have more control over your time to spend with the Lord, to serve the Lord, making decisions for the Lord. It's less complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but easier in the sense that it's less complicated for the single person than it is for the married person. And as verse 35 says, this isn't about restraining your life to limit you, but rather it's promoting singleness is promoting intimacy and devotion to the Lord. And that is awesome and very, very good. God even makes provisions for widows so that they can stay single. He says his children are to care for the needy widows, like in James 2, verses 14 to 26. Widows were vulnerable. And like I said, they often remarried to find support and security. And God is calling his people to look after those widows so that the widows were free to not marry, free to not rely on marriage for safety and support, but rather rely on God through his children. And the single woman could proclaim with her life that her support and safety and existence depends on God through his family. So singleness is a gift from God so you can be more devoted to God. All of us are to take care of the needy widows so that they can be devoted to God. Now, those of you who are single, singleness is God's best for you. It's a gift from God, not a punishment. God has blessed you and you happen to be single. The circumstances might not have been that very good of how it came about, but like Joseph, something that started off bad, God's goodness takes it and makes it into something good for your good. And please don't hear me say that it is good that no one wants to marry you, or that your spouse passed away, or that you were divorced, someone divorced you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you are not made complete or fulfilled by a spouse or a mate. The Bible says God is the one who takes our brokenness, our sinfulness, our flesh, our thinking, our longings, our desires, our needs, and he makes us new creations in relationship with him, where he meets our needs. He is life in abundance, not any person. This changes everything. Singleness is good, just as good as marriage, because all of us are dependent on God for our wholeness. But you are in a better position to do what you were created to do, which is being devoted to God, worshiping him, bringing praise to him. The characteristics of marriage or singleness are not to be idolized or belittled. You and I, God's family, we together reflect the image of God. And we must look at life in this newness of being saved. We have brothers and sisters in our lives, in our church family. We are not robbed of intimate relationships. We have the opportunity for many rich, intimate relationships here in our church family. We are not meant to be lonely, isolated, single people, but singles with rich, intimate relationships with brothers and sisters, and most importantly, with the Lord. Being in Christ fulfills our longings, our deepest longings, and his family, our Christian family, meets many of our needs. Jesus was single, but he was not alone. He had three really close disciples who were a part of a bigger group of 12 disciples that accompanied him, as well as devoted women, as we see in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. He also had other close friends like Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. His life is an example of a life lived as a eunuch for the sake of the kingdom of God. Singleness is good. Now let me end with this. My brothers and sisters, I'm saying this to all of us. We must not discriminate against single people. The Bible has a very high view of both marriage and singleness. Both are a part of the family of God. Both are equal and rightful members of God's family. with no inferiority of either. We must include singles as equals, as brothers and sisters, always. They are never a third wheel, and we must not make them feel that way. We must work on the dynamics here in our church family so that our single brothers and sisters know that they are all of equal value and that they are worthy of being in a friendship with us or us with them. The goal of Christians, any Christian, is not to get married. It's to worship God, enjoying Him, and bringing praise to His name, which singleness really helps do. And now to those of you that are single, I want to say to you, thank you for how you have poured yourself into the church family and blessed us with your friendship and your gifts and how you serve us. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. And forgive us. Forgive us if we have hurt you and left you out. Forgive us if we have highlighted marriage so much that we made, by our omission, singleness seem like this thing we should push aside. Forgive us for that ignorance, for that oversight. Forgive us if we've spoken poorly of singleness. Forgive us. We need to do better. So, to us, Calvary Baptist Church, all of us, I hope, have some conviction here from the Holy Spirit, or our eyes have been opened up to some of God's truth here, and that we more clearly see the biblicalness of singleness, and that we have a commitment and a drive to want to see this lived out in our church family. That's the hope. That's the prayer that I hope you walk away with and that you spend time praying this week, that we as a church family change in that way and that we bless our brothers and sisters who are blessed with the gift of singleness. Because as the Bible says, being single is a good thing. Let's pray together, and then we're going to celebrate communion. Father, I give you thanks for our brothers and sisters who have been gifted by you with singleness. Thank you for how alive they are. Thank you for how they worship you with their lives. Thank you that they are a part of us. Thank you that they bless our lives and make our lives better. Thank you for that, Lord. I ask that you would bless them with a clear identity of who they are found in you. That you would strengthen them as they face the challenges of being single. You would make them strong. You'd increase their faith and trust in you. And that their lives would bring glory to your name, bring praise to your name. I ask that for all of us, we would have a more biblical understanding of singleness as well as marriage. That we wouldn't make marriage and family idols in our lives and live for our spouses or live for our children. But that we would live for you, Father. Please, Lord, do this work amongst us. And if there's hurt amongst us in this area, ask, Lord, that you would meet that hurt, that you would bring healing, and that you would give strength when our brothers and sisters are in that place of being hurt, that they don't go for the temptation that sin brings and the promises that sin brings, that they wouldn't fall for temptation. Please, Father, bless them in that way. And thank you for how different, how our church family is made up of such different people. Thank you for that, Lord. So we give you thanks for these things, and our trust is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.